Hello, there we go. I'm back on. You can just wait just for a moment for the kids. I'm going to go out. I really just want us to reflect on just where our hearts are. Where are we? Where is your heart? How is your heart? And I've been reading through Revelation 22. And as I ask this question, where is your heart and how is your heart? I want us to look under, almost like the title of my message is The Spirit and the Bride Say Come. It's that song that we sang this evening. The first song that we sang is The Spirit and the Bride Say Come. And so I want to read that passage of Scripture because I really feel God wants to open up just something of that for us as a church as we just go into this passage. So can you just give us that Scripture? It says, "And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gate into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and adulterers and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let him who hears say, Come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." And as I was just reading the Scripture, Jesus is saying, he's coming quickly, hey? And he's coming with rewards with him. And it's a beautiful picture, but you know, some of us have been here and we think, well, is he really coming quickly? I mean, it's been 2,000 years. And he even said then, you know, when the disciples asked him, what is the signs that we're in the last days? And Jesus kind of gave them, hey, one of the things is this temple's going to have destruction. There's not going to be one stone turned on a left. The whole thing's going to be destroyed. And that's already 70 years AD. And so if that was the end time, some of you think, well, is he really coming quickly? But I don't believe that so much as it's when he comes, he's going to come quickly. It's like you're not going to have time to get your life sorted out, to get your family sorted out, to get your everything in line and worked out for his coming. He's saying he's coming, and when he does come, it's going to be quickly. Yes, there's been a delay. Remember that scripture where it talks about the 10 virgins? 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. Remember that? And he said he delayed his coming. But it's when he comes, he's going to come quickly. And so I don't want us to be discouraged because, you know, we've waited so long. But I do feel God has been intentional even in his delay. You know, it talks in that scripture with the 5 foolish virgins and the 5 wise. They were both virgins. In other words, they were kept from the world. They were pure. They were both waiting in anticipation. But what was the difference is that the foolish virgins didn't have that extra oil where the wise virgins did. Am I right? That was the only thing that really separated them. And so as I was really just processing the scripture this evening, I want to ask you, are you guys ready? Are you like the foolish or are you like the wise? Are you ready and are you receptive for that quick time that when Jesus comes? Are you ready to receive him? And how do I know? How do I know? I mean, you can do all the things and that's what I want to talk about this evening. I want to talk about the scripture specifically when John talks to us about this. There's something unique about the church of God. There's something unique in its character, in the very heart and nature of the true church, that when Jesus comes, there's going to be something in them that defines them alone that no one else can duplicate. And I want to explain that through this portion of Scripture. And it's very important that we know this. And I believe this goes beyond doctrine. Okay, those of you who know, doctrine is important in the life of the church. We need doctrine. I mean, that's part of what Jesus said here. Blessed are those who what? Do my commandments. That's doctrine. But I don't want to focus purely on doctrine this evening. I feel there's something else that God wants to take us a little bit deeper than just knowing the word. And it's knowing him. And so let's dig a little bit deeper to this. Because, yeah, so as we see this, this is a picture in Revelation. Now, Revelation is all about what? It's about the revelation of Jesus. Am I right? It's God revealing himself to his church, but it's also the unfolding of what's to happen. And I don't know if you've ever looked at if you've ever done a study on the churches in Asia Minor. Remember the seven churches? To every church, there was a revelation of Jesus that God gives them. This is the revelation of who he is. And then he says to the church, and this is what you've done, and this is what you haven't done, and I'm going to judge you for this, and if you don't come right here, I'm going to sort you out here. But it was all in response to their revelation of who he was. So it's not just the judgment of God just out of nothing. There's something as God reveals himself to us that we have to respond as a church to that revelation of who he is. And so I want to just focus on this portion of scripture. What is God revealing about himself that's so different to maybe the other churches? And here it is, and I want to read from verse 13. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who keep his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Now, I know something about God. Whenever he quotes something about himself, you know, when he says, I am the beginning and the end, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, this is not, God doesn't show off. He doesn't need your, wow, Lord. He's totally satisfied in who he is. But when God proclaims something about himself, there's something that you need to know. Because he doesn't just proclaim it. There's some response that I've got to have towards this revelation that he's revealing himself to me. That I've got to change something in my heart posture, something of my mind, something of my body. Everything has to respond to this revelation of who he is. And so right now he's saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. And I want to just, as I was just meditating on this, in this proclamation that God is giving, I want us to take heed, really to really just think about what he's saying here. Because there is implications, church, there's implications to you and me as we read this. It's like when God says, you know, I'm holy. And then he says, but you be holy because I'm holy. You be what I am. As I'm declaring something about myself to you, you got to be that. And so here he's saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And you might say, well, what does that mean to me? What has that got to do with me? How can the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end, mean anything to me? And I want to say there is something unique in this. We all know that we all come to that starting place of recognizing that Jesus is the Alpha. There's a moment in our lives that we realize that I've been living for myself. It's just everything that I do leads to destruction. There's no purpose in Benny. There's nothing I can do. There's no hope. There's no glory. I mean, you face it. Every single one of us who've come to Jesus knew that about ourselves. There was a point in our lives that we had to realize, man, there's got to be more to life. I mean, I can have my thrills. Pleasure has its limits, doesn't it? Everything fades. Everything gets a moment where it actually loses its thrill, its joy, its pleasure. But there comes a moment where I've got to receive Jesus. It's in that moment that I say, God, come into my life. Be my personal Savior. I want you to come and rescue me from me. And at that moment, God sends his Son. The Bible says that the judgment that was rightfully yours and the wrath of God, rightfully yours, he sends it on his Son and he puts it, his Son goes to the cross on your behalf and God's judgment falls on him and Jesus pays for you. And it's at that moment that you realize that as he's paid for me and he purchased me with his own blood, that my life is no longer mine. It belongs to him. But that's the beginning. It's not the end. And so when God says, I'm the Alpha, that's the beginning moment. That's the moment that I shoot away on my starting blocks and I'm running the race. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, yes. But that you have it in abundance. And there's a process, there's a journey, there's a road that you're called to. And this is just the beginning. And I want to say to you, you might be here and you say, I've made the confession, I've come before people, I've prayed, I've received Jesus in my heart, and that's it. Let me say, that is the beginning. And that's only the beginning. There is more to this. He is also the Omega. He's also the end. Philippians 1:6, it says, the work that he started in me, he will be faithful and just to complete it. God has to complete the work in you. You can't pull out and say, well, I've just made the decision in my life and left it there. No, Jesus needs to complete the work. You are His workmanship, not your own. Creating Christ Jesus for good works that He has prepared in advance that you should walk in them. And yeah, and I know a lot of Christians they think that's the end point when I've just given my life and then you get Christians that have even to some degree lived a life of glory and God's used them and there's been moments of this glory. I mean, I came from a movement which I believe even Josh Jen it was part of who they are really. But that movement in itself was, it was good. It was glorious that God was using them. It was a place where I learned a lot. I understood church. I understood a bit more, you know, in who God is and my call and response as the priesthood of believers. But as I look back at some of these people of the old movement that I was even part of, I listen to them now, even the greatest of them, and I listen to their podcasts, their YouTubes, and it's almost like they're talking about the days gone by. In fact, one of the guys refers to himself as the grandfather of the faith. And I'm thinking, but it's almost like everything he's sharing is just something of past. You know, when I did this, when I did that. And I almost feel like there is no grandfathers in the faith. There isn't. The Bible talks about that. It says, you know, when God says, I'm the God of your fathers. He didn't say to Jacob, I'm the God of your father, your grandfather, Abraham, and then Isaac. And he says, no, I'm the God of your father. There's a constant working. There's no grandfathers. I don't know who are grandparents here. Sean. Now, would you agree with me? There's moments that you have a child. Hey? And when a child starts kicking and screaming, what do? You hand it back to mommy and daddy. It's almost like it's not my responsibility anymore. It's just like, and some Christians kind of view that in their faith, you know. No, you're presently working. You haven't come to retirement. There is no retirement in the kingdom. And I almost feel like when I listen to some of these guys, as much as I love them and I want to see God break through, but almost like I look back and I look at them and looking at back and I don't see a present God working in them now. I looked at myself, God, I don't want to be like that. I want to be moving forward in what you have for me. It's almost like they've traded in their battle uniforms for their parade uniforms. It's like, okay, God, you can start hanging the medals. This is what I've done. I've just put on. But let me tell you, church, we are still in a war. There's still a battle. You can't change your uniforms yet. Your new parade uniform will only come when Jesus comes. As we read that scripture, he's going to come quickly, but he's coming with rewards in his hand. He's coming with the medals. But he's not going to give it to you until he comes in. And so don't change your uniforms yet. Don't say, this is my past. This is finished. You know, I'm done. I'm too old for kids ministry. Or I'm too old to be used as an evangelist out there. No, God should be constantly working in us. There should be nothing that you say no to God. Even if the leaders ask you to do something, do so. That's how I had my days. I want to encourage you, be flexible, be used. Be a person that wants to be used. God, I know Benny's asking me something weird, and I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to give my heart. You show me, Lord. And Galatians 6:9 and 2 Thessalonians 3:13, it says, don't grow weary in doing good. You know, sometimes we go weary. It's like we bask in the sun of our glorious days of what happened. And God's got a present work for us, church. God is doing something. And I want to say, when we do that, it's going to take faith. God's not asking you to just do works. He's asking you to respond in faith. As you behold him, there's something that he reveals to you about himself. And he says, now I want you to go there. I want you to do that. And you're going to say, God, I know in myself I can't do it. He's going to say, that's where I want you. Because as you behold me, you're going to see what I'm going to do through you. And you know, and this is what Jesus wants of his church, that we are people of faith. Not just that we, you know, sometimes we think we are people of faith means I've received Jesus, well, now I'm a person of faith. No, faith is a present verb working in us all the time. So if I say, you know, if you say you're a person of the faith, I want to say, what is God stretching you right now where you are? Think of where you are. What is he stretching in you that requires faith that you know in yourself you can't do? Because that's, I mean, when Jesus says in Luke 18:8, he says, when he comes to the earth, will he find faith? It's pretty challenging. In other words, will he find people that are going to be in situations and places and things that they in themselves can't do, but trusting totally in him to do it. So when he comes to earth, is he going to find those kind of people? Not those who've got it all together and I'm just coming to church and this doesn't require faith. This is just building into our faith, but it's not necessarily your faith. You get what I'm saying? This is a place where we build faith and pray God's faith into us, and we go and we get ready, and these preparations times are needful, but this is not your faith. Going out there to the marketplace, in the workplace, as you bring the kingdom to earth, that's faith. Because God's going to tell you to do things that are abnormal, things that stretch you. So I want to ask you guys, are you constantly in that place? And are you constantly eating fresh manna from the Lord? Because you can't run in faith if you're not intimate with him, if you're not having a relationship with him, if you're not feeding off him. You know, think of the Israelites. God didn't want them ever to eat the manna of yesterday. They ate the manna and God says, okay, the manna that's left over, you throw it away. I don't want you touching it. Why? Because he didn't want them to be dependent on, I'm going to stack my 10 full of manna because then I don't have to trust Jesus. Because now I've got my manna, I've got my bit of bread. But to eat of him even requires faith. I mean, Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And so I want to challenge you, church, are you presently walking in that? Are you getting fresh manna from God? I can't feed you this manna. I can give you a word, but you know what? You've got to be sitting with the Lord and say, God, give me the manna. Give me the bread of life that not only sustains me, that gives me faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And so we got to be constantly in the place where we're trusting in the power, the provision, and the presence of God. Even here, I've got to trust in the presence of God. I never want to be an elder that just moves on and say, okay, we're going to do our hymn and a thing. Even now, I'm really trying to seek the Lord. I'm trying to find, God, where are you? I know it's so easy to fall into a program. But if I'm not seeking God and his presence, I know this will fall flat, even our Sundays. If we're not trusting in the power of God when we pray for people, it's not going to happen. If we're not trusting God for provision of our food, and I know things are getting tough for some of you, for all of us really, financially, the cost of living has gone up. But we got to trust that Jesus is our source. It's not our workplace, guys. It's not your businesses. It's not your bank accounts. Jesus is your source. Are you trusting him? And so as I realize, I put myself out there, which is risky in a sense. It's like, God, only you're going to do this. But it's when I do that I know, it's almost like, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? So how do you know you're in the faith? Well, you're putting yourself out there and you're being tested and you say, God, I know only you can do this. That's seeing whether you're in the faith. Pretty hectic stuff. So are you being stretched? And when I say stretched, I mean stretched beyond your capabilities, beyond your knowledge, beyond your strength. You know, I realized when I'm fraught, when I'm useless, that's when God breaks through. I don't know about you. It's the worst. You know, it's actually the times that I don't expect it. Sometimes I don't always trust God. And so then, I can't do this thing. And I see the hand of God just work. Thanks, Benny. That's where I want you. It's like in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 to 10, it says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on him, on me. And that's amazing. Paul's saying, I'm going to brag about the fact that I can't do this. Because when I do that, I acknowledge that actually he's the one doing it. I think sometimes we sometimes think we've got to have a strong leadership because they can look strong in themselves. And you know what? I think it's sometimes bad to have that as your image of a leader. It's having an image of a leader that says, guys, I actually don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to live this. I don't know how I'm going to walk like this. But you know what? I'm trusting Jesus. I'd rather follow a leader like that than one who's got it all together, one who's determined in himself. And you can have strong people, but let me tell you, there's going to come a moment in that man's life that he will fall flat. We've got to trust God is doing the work. He says, unless I build the house, you labor in vain. And so one of the qualities, and this is my pivotal moment of what I want to share. One of the unique qualities that come to the true church is a distinctive heart within them. This is what sets them apart. This is what sanctifies this church, okay? There's a yearning and there's a cry within them. And it's a cry that says, come, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I know we kind of overlook that scripture. It sounds good. Hey, we even sing it and it's lekker, but there's something in that I want to talk about because I really feel there's a key in this. And this calling of Jesus to come, come Lord Jesus. There's something of us calling the bridegroom to come, but there's also something of us, it's actually a twofold cry. We're calling the groom to come, but we're also calling people to come to Jesus. Because it says, come those who are weary, those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, come. And then it's saying, come Jesus, come. And I want to say something about this. The first one, I want to talk about just the bridegroom. There's a calling of Christ to come. You know, when I was engaged to Lauren, she really prolonged it for me. It was like 2 years. We were engaged for 2 years. 1 year, okay. It felt like 2 years. I was going out for 1 year and we were engaged for a year. But I stayed in Secunda and she stayed in Pietermaritzburg. And it was a long, you know, for a young, passionate guy who's got a lot of fire and he just wants to be with his future wife. And, he'll do anything for that. I mean, I remember going 500 kilometers, spending an epi salary just to be with her, paying for toll gates. I don't know if those have been on the N3. It's expensive. But there was something of just, I want to be married. I want to be close to her. I want, because in that there's a fulfillment. In that there's a satisfaction. In that there's a moment I'm just going to be complete. You feel like it. Yeah, this is what I long for. This is what I'm wanting. It's like every day felt like a year to me. And then we didn't have what you young guys have, WhatsApps and stuff. We only had letters. And I was lucky enough to have a computer. She didn't have a computer. She actually broke into a university to email me. That's how bad she was. I'm sorry, babes. I have to confess for you. So she needed to receive my email. So she used to go to the universities to do that. So that was our communication. Okay, we had call more time, but even that was expensive. And you used those moments. But, I mean, that was like 8 o'clock. I think it stayed 50 rand for a certain period of time. You could talk as long as you want. But I longed for the day to be with her. So I lived for that. I lived for that moment to get married. And you know, the Bible talks about even creation is subject to futility. Even creation itself knows that there's a pointlessness. There's an emptiness without Jesus. It says even creation, because it says creation groans because of its futility. It even knows in itself. And then for us specifically, Romans 8:23, it says, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So we're calling upon Jesus because he's going to be the one who's going to fulfill us. He's the one who's going to complete us. He's the one who's going to redeem us totally when he comes. Now, we all know we're not totally there, hey? Who's still got the pull of sin on their life? Who's still got the weight of things that you feel? It's there. Don't fool yourself. Don't try and pretend you've got it. Come on. Be like the rest of us. We know that day of redemption hasn't come yet. Otherwise, I wouldn't need faith right now. But there's a longing within the church. It's God, you complete me, Jesus. You satisfy me. I long for you. And that should be the cry of our hearts, church. That should be everything in us anticipating for him and longing for him and wanting him. I can't make this in you. This is something you've got to have. And this is the cry of the church. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And let me say, you can't have that true cry. You can't have that desire, that passion for Jesus to come if you still love your sin. You can't. The two just cannot be together. You'll be ruled by one, and he'll be your master, but the other will not. Jesus said that. Yes, he was talking about money, but I believe that's with everything. Whatever's your master, that's the thing you love. You can't love. In fact, it's 1 John 2:15. It says, if you love the world, what? The love of the Father's what? Not in you. So it's impossible to say, come, Jesus, and truly mean it and say, come, Lord, I want you to come and redeem me. You can't have that and love the world. James 4 says, if you have friendship with the world, it's enmity with God. In other words, you're at war with God. And so there's a sense in which we're calling Jesus to come. There's a sense in which we're calling our bridegroom to come because we need him and we want him and we desire him. But there's also a sense in which we're calling others. We're calling in the lost to come and meet him. He's coming back, and I'd rather they meet him now than when he does come back, because when he does come back, it's too late. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled. Do you see that? There's an imploring, there's a longing, there's a yearning that should be within us to bring people to Jesus. And I've got to admit, I don't always have that. It's not always, okay, I do seek Jesus. I do want him to come, but there's times I'm not worried about the world. Sometimes I've switched off to that. I don't know about you guys. Do you have that sometimes? You actually have this off switch. It's like at the moment, I just don't have time for people. Right now, my work's calling me. My work is more important. Right now, it's this or that. Right now, it's my kids. Right now, it's this. But there should be a constant yearning to see people come to Jesus. I'm guilty, church. I'm not pretending I've got it and you don't. I know I don't always have that. But I need to call God. I need to ask him to come and bring the passion for the lost again. Because this is what separates us from the false church. This is what separates us from the apostates. It's a church that wants to see Jesus come, but a church that wants to see people redeemed and set free and saved. Is there a groaning in you? Is there a cry within you that says, come? It's that love that compels us. I've got one more scripture. Revelations 19, verses 7 to 8. It said, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saint. And you know, this is the beautiful thing. It's the bride has made herself ready. There's a yearning for Jesus to come. There's a yearning to see people saved. But in the process of all of this, I'm preparing myself for that. It's not only Jesus coming, but I'm preparing myself. I'm putting on the garments that glorify him by doing the works that he's asked me to do. It's not just doing works. It's doing the works that he has asked you to do. It's doing the things that he's called you to do. And in a sense, it's that moment where we array ourselves with the parade uniform that's to come. And it's not going to be ourselves. It's going to be Jesus parading us, not us parading us. And so I want to ask you, do you have this revelation? Are you making yourself ready? Guys, are you making yourself ready? This is an intimate thing, isn't it? This is not a cognitive preparation. This is, God, make me ready because I want your heart. This is how we become ready. It sounds so simple, yet it's not something we always have. In fact, Jesus said when he comes back, it's almost like men's hearts will fail them. There'll be a almost like a lack of love. I want to say, how's your love? In fact, one of the churches where God says, you know, where's your love? It's like you've done everything, you've done the works, but where's your love? And so just as we just prepare our hearts, I'm going to ask the music team just to come forward. But I don't want to presume everybody here has given their life to Jesus. I don't want to presume everybody here has this kind of relationship that I'm talking about right now. Is there something in the yearning of God that's calling you to call him? Do you think about him? Is he constantly in your mind? Is he constantly there that you're saying, come, Jesus, I can't wait for the day that you come and set me free. I long for you. I long to be with you. You know, this is the purpose that Jesus came, is to redeem us from ourselves, to set us free. And I've shared the gospel right now, talking about how God redeemed us. But I want to say it's about a relationship. It's coming to him. And so can we just, maybe as the worship team get ready, but I just want to ask you, can we just bow our heads for a moment? Just take a moment. Just bow your heads. If you don't have what I've just shared now, that love that I'm talking about, I want you to put up your hand. While every eye is closed, no one's going to see. But I do feel it's important because the Bible talks that if you confess me before the Lord, I will confess you before the Father. See, there's a moment that God calls us to that we can actually know him intimately. It's a decision we make. But it's a recognition that I'm a sinner. And without him, I'm heading for destruction. Without him, I'm heading for hell. But God came to pay the price and he sent his son to do that. So just for a moment, I'm going to ask, is there no one here that actually made that decision in their life? Is there someone here that actually hasn't made that decision? Now's the day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can meet him and know him. And then for the rest of us, I'm going to ask them to sing that song, Come Lord Jesus, Come. But I want you to respond to the Lord. I actually don't want you to respond to me. But I do believe there's times that you feel that there's some hindrance, there's some blockage. I do want you to come to us as a leadership. I'm going to ask some of the elders to stand in the front. But there is an essence that I feel that God is calling us to, and that's a longing, a desire that he's wanting to awaken within us. It's to come to that place again and say, God, I want to behold you again. I want to see you again where I've lost my first love. I've lost you, Jesus. And I know I've lost you because my heart doesn't cry out. There's no longing within me to say, come, Jesus. There's no desire to seek your presence. And I want to say, if that's you, don't you want to respond this evening? Just come forward and just come and meet with him. And you also know, because you've seen it work out to those around you, you don't desire people to come to Jesus. You don't desire to see them come and meet with the King of Kings. You don't desire for them to come and drink, those who are weary. And so I want to call you just to respond to him this evening. And so we're going to open this up in worship. And even if you've got a word, I believe there's some people that even got a prophetic word here. I want to say, use that word, share that word. Just in response to this, because God is even calling individuals right now. And it might take a prophetic word to do that. It might take just something that's for you alone. But it's knowing that God's talking to you. Okay. Maybe we can just stand and worship.